Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and again, we want to face the issues. I pray that today you are open to hear what the Scripture says in relationship to the issues of life. I'm excited about some of the things that we're hearing and seeing in relationship to global events and that which is taking place. I'm delighted to come to you today with the issue at hand, and we're going to be talking about in a moment after I do the monologue. Should the Bible be taught in public schools? Should the Bible be taught in public schools? I want you to listen up today, and let's do a little brief journey through this subject. We may find that later in the broadcast week that we want to do a follow-up on this, because it is an extensive and yet very real subject that I believe we need to face and determine in relationship to what we're going to do as a nation in honoring God. And keep in mind, when we talk about these issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not a matter of philosophy and ideology. It's not a matter of what a denominational rite, ritual, rule, or regulation might say. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 8:31-32. There are a lot of folks that says the truth shall make you free, and that's not a correct statement. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed simply means truly, seriously, genuinely. And then, if you will, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement from the Lord Jesus about the word of God, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we have this discussion today on the question, should Bible be taught in the public schools, keep in mind, you can dial in 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and join in this dialogue and discussion. By the way, let me give you a heads up. Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about a subject, President Donald Trump and King Cyrus. Is there parallelism there with what President Trump is doing and what the Syria, the King Cyrus did in the era of his reign? And then we'll talk about another subject during the course of this week's broadcast. Is it time for a temple in Jerusalem? We're talking about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll be interested in these subjects and stay tuned in every day this week in particular as we talk about some of these issues. We'll be talking about some of the issues further in the days to come. What does the Bible say about drugs? Is there really life after death? If so, what are the options after death? And another question, dialogue, is the church really relevant in society today? Is the church really relevant in society today? But ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the question today, should the Bible be taught in public schools? I want us to understand it doesn't take a genius to determine that our society has lost its moral, ethical, spiritual compass. I believe all we need to do is look at what is happening in society and determine that. Now, I'm not just talking about the recent mass shooting in Parkland, Florida. I'm not talking about the mass shootings in general. But we found mass massacres taking place in schools, in on campuses, colleges, universities. We've seen mass shootings take place in restaurants and other places across the nation. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about this, the question is, as we look at society today, We find drugs and drinking, lying and cheating, immorality, abortion, and all of these things are increasing exponentially. What is the reason behind that? Why is this taking place? I believe it's because of a lack of knowledge of God's Word. I believe it's because of the lack of a knowledge of the relationship to God through Jesus Christ. I believe it boils down to a moral, ethical, spiritual issue. And the moral, ethical, spiritual issue is fountainheaded out of, may I benevolently say, an ignorance of the Word of God. A simple ignorance, a lack of knowledge. People perish, the Scripture says, because of lack of knowledge. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God, there's going to be a flailing around, flailing about, and a dilemma as to which way society needs to go. May I remind us, as we think about it, ladies and gentlemen, 50 to 100 years ago, we had the same ratio of guns and citizens, and yet we had no mass murders in schools and churches, public venues. So what makes the difference? I believe, as I've said, it's a simple matter of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. I believe it's the can be traced back to an absolute biblical, if you please, root. It can be traced back to a lack of biblical training in our homes and in our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want us to be very, very candid and forthright. And may I simply ask you a question if you're listening? Are you a parent? Are you a grandparent? Then may I ask a follow-up question? Are you teaching Bible to your sons and daughters? Do your sons and daughters know what the Scripture, I'm not talking about what does a Baptist say, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, Assemblies of God. I'm not concerned about that one whit. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to heaven, it won't be a matter of what Baptists think or believe. It won't be a matter of what Presbyterian or Methodist think or believe. It won't be a matter of the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of every hierarchical denomination on the face of the globe. It'll be a matter of whether or not we know Jesus Christ intimately, personally, as Savior and Lord. And so how does that come about? It comes about by the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Bible, the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture that's called the Bible, the number of writers, the authors of the Bible, the New Testament books, the Old Testament books. Who were they written to? Why were they written? What is the theme and the thesis, and what ought to be taught and gleaned from those that direct our footsteps in life today? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, since about 1961, when the courts officially banned prayer in the Bible in the public classrooms, we witnessed an enormous erosion in morals and ethics and values and standards. If you don't believe that, just look at the graph that you can go to online and pull up online graphs that will show you these things. And go back to 1960 and 61 and see the level of biblical literacy, not biblical illiteracy, the level of biblical literacy in the up to the early 60s. And then when that decision was made, then all of a sudden everybody ran frightened and petrified and said, we're going to obey the Supreme Court decision. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This is a main harping point, if you please, of mine. The Supreme Court cannot make laws. The Supreme Court was never designed as the third branch of the our government to override the executive branch or the legislative branch. Laws are made through the legislative branch. When a Supreme Court listens to arguments and then they ultimately render what is called the opinion of the court, the opinion, not a decision, not a law, but the opinion of the court. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the opinion of the court, Supreme Court, the opinion of the Supreme Court can be thwarted, can be dismissed, can be disallowed, disavowed, and not followed by the executive branch? The executive branch can simply say, okay, ladies and gentlemen of the Supreme Court, we admire you for who you are. We thank you for your diligence and your study on this issue. But we're simply not going to agree with you on your opinion, and therefore we're going to continue doing what we think is right as a nation. Unfortunately, we've not had that to occur in recent history. It did occur on one occasion in history past by one president, but it has not since. But the Supreme Court does not make the law. But since the opinion of the Supreme Court in 1961 that prayer and Bible reading could be excerpted from the classroom, we've watched that moral plummet, that enormous decline in morals and ethics and values and standards in our society. I am thankful, however, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to broadcast to you today, if you're not knowledgeable of it, and to let you know today that several states have passed legislation to allow Bible to be taught in the classrooms, in the public classrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, should Bible be taught? Should the Word of God be taught in the public classrooms in public schools? That's the question. If you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, you can disagree. You can jump up and down if you like to. I'm not going to get angry with you, but you can agree or disagree or put in your observations and thoughts. Love to have you do so. You can call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and join in the dialogue and discussion. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we want to talk about that subject today a little further. Should the Bible be taught in our public school classrooms? I'm thankful that some of the states, some of our states, legislative bodies have determined that we need to do something to get our nation back on track. We need to do something to get our public school students back in sync with what is morally and ethically and biblically correct. States like Kentucky and Alabama and Arizona now allow the Bible to be taught as an elective in the classroom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you an excerpt here. The title of this article says, Kentucky gives its blessings to Bible classes in the public schools. Governor Matthew Bevin has signed the so-called Bible Literacy Law, the Bible Literacy Bill, into law. It is a course solely on the Hebrew Scriptures, Old Testament of the Bible, the New Testament also. The purpose is, I'm reading the article, the purpose is to provide the students knowledge of biblical content, characters, poetry, and the narratives that are prerequisite to understanding contemporary society and culture. He goes on to say, it is also an elective and it's not required as a course. Listen what this article says. I'm reading to you an article. Kentucky gives its blessings to Bible classes in public schools. Further in the article, let me read you an excerpt. They will not be teaching about the Quran or the sacred text of other religions. That would be more of a comparative religions class. The Bible is literacy class. The Bible is literacy class. The article goes further, says, a co-sponsor by the Republican State Representative D.J. Johnson, who did not immediately respond to an email from NBC News seeking comments. He was wise, by the way, in doing that. But in an earlier interview with the Louisiana Courier-Journal, Johnson insisted the purpose of the bill was not to promote Christianity. Quote, where you believe that is, it's the Word of God or not, or if you think it's complete fiction, you can't deny, listen, you can't deny the impact it's had on all of our culture, Johnson said of the Bible, end quote. Furthermore, the article states, the idea that we would not want this to be an option for people in school would be crazy, said the governor as he talked with the crowd. Quote, I don't know why every state would not embrace this idea. Why we as a nation would not embrace this idea for all of our schools. Now, I don't know about you, but I simply say thank you, Lord, that we have some common sense coming back to some of our political leaders in our states that are making choices and decisions that I believe will change the course and the destiny of America. I believe it will change the course and the destiny of the students that are in our classrooms today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, other states are now seeing the benefits of teaching the Bible in the classroom for its students. To have an ethical choice in life. In fact, West Virginia, listen to this, it's brand new. In fact, this was just voted on January the 18th of 2018. God in the schools? West Virginia might be the next as more states embrace the Bible. The article states very briefly, I'll read, West Virginia lawmakers have introduced a bill calling for the Bible courses in all of the state schools, continuing decades-long debate about Bible teachings placed in the classroom. Senate Bill 252, this is in West Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, Senate Bill 252, sponsored by State Senators Mike Asignor, Republican, and Sue Klein, would mandate an elective course in both private and public schools that teaches, quote, knowledge of the Bible content, its characters, the poetry, and the narratives that are prerequisite to the understanding of contemporary society and culture, end quote. The article goes on to tell us, the new legislation feeds off a changing political climate that has emboldened state lawmakers and public school officials to inject religion into public schools. If West Virginia passed this legislation, it would join at least seven other states, including Georgia, Arizona, and Kentucky, which have passed a bill in April enabling local school boards to create elective biblical literacy classes on the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament of the Bible as part of the social studies curriculum. Other states have taken different approaches. Listen to this statement. Florida passed a bill in June, that is last June, allowing students to organize prayer groups, religious clubs, and other religious gatherings before, during, and after the school day. The article continues and finalizes, and I quote, biblical literacy courses have also received support from avenues such as the Republican Platform 2016, which encouraged state legislatures to offer the Bible in literature curriculum as a high school elective, stating that, quote, a good understanding of the Bible being indispensable for the development of an educated citizenry. And ladies and gentlemen, I find that to be refreshing based on what we've been hearing so often in other venues in relationship to the denial and the rejection and the refusal to allow God to be in the classroom. And then when there's a tragedy, it's, oh God, where were you when 9/11 took place? God, where were you when the terrorists attacked America? Where were you? And they go on and on and on. And it's because so often God's been banned. So now I'm thankful that there's a modicum of desire to see a transition in that. So should public schools teach the Bible in the classroom? Why not? In fact, here's an article about the Texas educational system. Texas Educational Code 28.011 provides that districts may offer an elective course or courses on the impact of the Old and the New Testament of the Bible to students in grades 9 through 12. The Texas Educational Section 28.002 also states that each district that offers K-12 instruction shall, not may, but shall, offer enrichment curriculum that includes religious literature, including the Hebrew Scriptures, that is the Old Testament and the New Testament, and its impact on history and literature. And when it was questioned about whether they should or not, the Texas Attorney General has ruled that all Texas school districts must, not may, or perhaps, but must, include instruction on religious literature, including the Old and the New Testaments of the Bible, in their enrichment curriculum. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is refreshing to me. I have just been delighted to read the articles and look at the research on that subject and realize that there is a modicum, there is a slight little budding chance that in America today we can see what took place 200 to 300 years ago in America. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, as we think about this subject, we're talking about, should the Bible be taught as a subject in our public schools today? I believe it should be. Some argue that it's unconstitutional. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but not too long ago there was a joint statement of current law and religion in the public schools, and it was a review of all of the laws, the Supreme Court and the states, and the determination was made of what could be done. It's a major, massive article. It is a 35 or 40 page dissertation, if you will, on the subject of religion in the public schools, and it's a joint task force statement of current law. Let me just read you the preamble to that, then I'll read you two little sections one on prayer and one on the study of the scripture in the public schools. The article preamble starts out, "The Constitution permits much private religious activity in and about the public schools. Unfortunately, this aspect of constitutional law is not at all well known as it should be. Some say the Supreme Court has declared the public schools to be religious free zones," quote, end quote, "or that the law is so murky that school officials cannot know what is legal and legally permissible. The former claim is simply wrong. And as to the latter, while there are some difficult issues, much has been settled. It is also unfortunately true that public school officials, due to their busy schedules, may not be as fully aware of this body of law as they could be. As a result, in some school districts, some of these rights are not being observed. For example, student prayer." Number one in this determination, in this task force study, "Students have the right to pray individually or in groups or to discuss their religious views with their peers as long as they are not disruptive. When it comes to teaching about religion," which is section 5 in this study, "students may be taught about religion, but public schools may not teach religion." Listen, as the U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly said, quote, "It might well be said that one's education is not complete without a study of comparative religion or the history of religion and its relationship to the advancement of civilization," end quote. "It would be difficult to teach art, music, literature, and most social studies without considering religious influences on them. The history of religion, comparative religion, the Bible, or other scripture as literature, either as a separate course or within some existing course, are well permissible for public school subjects to be taught in the public arena." So, ladies and gentlemen, the case is settled in my mind. So, and I'll just do a little digression. What are we doing in Duval County with our public schools? Are we foreclosing the right of the citizens, the students, to be taught the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, as elective courses in the public schools in Duval County? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to check on that and give you a report back on that, because if they're not allowing it, then my question is why and what do we need to do? May I continue, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about the subject. Should the Bible be taught as a subject in our public schools? If not, why not? We understand that that has historically been done. We're thankful to find 5, 6, or 7 states now that are either doing it or passing enabling legislation to allow it to be done. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, prior to the American Revolution, the only English Bible in the colonies were imported either from Europe or England. The publication of the Bible was regulated to the British government. Americans, we cannot publish the English Bible. It was relegated only to the English government or the British government at that time. And an English language Bible could not be printed in America. So we had to import Bibles to be done. That was in 1661, 1663. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, about that time frame, it was determined that we need to print our own Bibles. And the Bible was printed in the Massachusetts Indian language to begin with, and the English Bible had to be imported. But further, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible was printed. It was in 1781, and Congress was petitioned for the printing of the English Bible, and ultimately full approval was granted to print the English Bible. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen up very carefully. Do you realize the textbook that was used in our original public schools, the textbook that was used for teaching English and English grammar and spelling and reading and writing, the textbook that was used was the Bible, the Word of God? It was the Bible that was used in those original classrooms that was used to teach and educate our children. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that's brand new. You know why that was done in our original public schools? The Bible was taught in the public schools as literature. It was taught as real. It was taught on the basis that God is real. God is there. And we need to have a relationship to Him through Jesus Christ. We were not ashamed of it. We were not embarrassed by it. We were not intimidated by it. We took a stand for what was right. And look at what happened in America. The greatness of our nation was built on the fundamental foundation of the truth of the Word of God. It was the Bible that was used originally in our classrooms in the public schools. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the ideal today is that moms and dads teach sons and daughters at home in the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with it being taught in the public school. But when you go back to what is called the Shema of the Old Testament, it's very, very clear in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, beginning with about verse 6, the scripture says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy houses and on thy gates." Ladies and gentlemen, then in Proverbs 22:6, the scripture says to the parents, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he shall be old, he shall not have departed from it." So, ladies and gentlemen, the precept and the principle is found in the scripture. We're going to either believe God or deny God exists. We're going to either believe God and obey God and his word, or we're going to reject God. And so I'm thankful to see some states with legislators that have moral, ethical, spiritual backbone to stand up and speak up and say it's time that we start training our sons and daughters in the Word of God in our public schools. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear in the 2 Timothy text in our Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 16, and 17, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Ladies and gentlemen, very, very clear directions in the Scripture, throughout Scripture, for the teaching of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, here is a poem that was written by Carolyn Caines. And Carolyn Caines, that's C-A-I-N-E-S, entitled this article is "To Be Educated." And I'll close this broadcast with the reading of this article. "If I learn my ABCs and can read 600 words per minute and can write perfect penmanship, but have not been shown how to communicate with the designer of all language, I have not been educated. If I can deliver an eloquent speech and persuade you with the strongest language and logic, but have not been instructed in God's wisdom, I have not been educated. If I read Shakespeare and John Locke and can discuss their writings with keen insight, but have not read the greatest of all books, the Bible, and have no knowledge of its personal importance, I have not been educated. If I have memorized additional facts, multiplication tables, and chemical formulas, and have never been disciplined to hide God's word in my heart, I have not been educated. If I can explain the law of gravity and Einstein's theory of relativity and have not been instructed in the unchangeable laws of the orders of the universe, God, I have not been educated. If I can classify animals by their family, their genus, and their species, and can write a lengthy scientific paper that afterwards will be recognized by men, and cannot understand and know the master and the purpose of creation, I have not been educated." And the article goes on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not educated until we know God and God's Word. So I'm thankful that you joined us today. Looking forward to the broadcast once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.